Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. Adam McManus, also with me. And, well, we come back to home education on a regular basis, partially because our organization is equipping homeschoolers in this country and around the world. I would say 100,000 homeschool families have benefited from our resources in one way or the other over the last number of years. And it's not just America, it's all over the world. And I have dedicated some 35 years of my life to this movement. Spoken at homeschool conferences since 1986, traveled to some 48 states, probably 16 countries, advocating home education. And I'm committed, or should be, one way or the other.
Oh, my. Yep. You've just come back from Ukraine,
yep.
Not to mention a conference in Nashville. So the word is spreading.
You know, the first homeschool conference I spoke at was 1986 in a place called Paso Robles, California. I was student body president of Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. It was just up the road from me. They found out that I'd been homeschooled in the 60s and 70s, and I was pretty much the only guy in the world they could find, a specimen who had made it and, you know, ostensibly had, you know, been somewhat successful, was not serving time in a maximum security prison, you know, so somewhat successful in life. And so they called me down and I did a presentation on something or other. Can't remember exactly what it was, but that was 1986. And since then, been advocating for homeschooling everywhere. Now, homeschooling is not perfect. It's got its flaws, but I still think it's the best thing going in the country. It's the best thing going for restoring some level of covenantal continuity of faith in an era in which we're seeing a massive disconnect in terms of the generational faith in our Western world. But now Dennis Prager's on board. Great article from WorldNet Daily. I'd say Dennis Prager is one of those Gamaliels where he's got something here. He's got some common grace. He's got some wisdom to share. And he nails it. You got the article in front of you, Adam. He says the single best thing you can do to retake America. You agree with this article?
I think it's fantastic. I just said about a trillion amens as I was reading through it, just published on June 7th at WorldNet Daily. The subtitle, Dennis Prager urges parents to take their kids out of today's educational system. And educational is in quotes because it's really an indoctrination system, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's pretty much what he says here. The most frequent question people pose to me is, what can I do to fight back against the nihilistic anti-American destruction of virtually all the country's major institutions? You know, it's interesting that he refers to it as a nihilistic anti-American destruction of virtually all the country's major institutions. Almost the same wording used by A.A. Hodge when about 1870, A.A. Hodge has an excellent quote that I bring out in Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West, in which he says, hey, you continue down this road, eliminating scripture, eliminating God, eliminating the Christian faith from education, you're going to see the most nihilistic system of ethics imposed on the schools and the universities that the world has ever seen. And that's precisely what's happened. It's interesting that Dennis Prager uses the same reference. He says that's what's going on. It's destruction. It's not just a, you know, bad ideology. It's destructive. It's a hand grenade. It's dynamite under the foundations of the American family, of the American culture, of the American political system, of the American nation. This is destroying our very civilization. This is destroying life on planet Earth. This is what is going on.
He says the public schools today prematurely sexualize the children, thereby robbing them of their innocence. They harm them intellectually and morally. They rarely teach them, for example, art or music, because they're too busy teaching them race-centered hatred of whites, of America, and of America's values. Sending your children to most American schools, this is a fascinating sentence, is playing Russian roulette with their values. But unlike the gun in Russian roulette, which has a bullet in only one of its six chambers, the public schools' guns hold four or five bullets, meaning your child is likely to be shot through and through the soul, through the heart, in terms of anything that has made America great or what the Bible describes as a biblical foundation.
Well, that's precisely what we discovered in our Gen 2 survey we did about 5 years ago. We looked at about 10,000 Christian kids raised in Christian homes, public school, private school, and homeschooled. And sure enough, if you're public schooled, even though we were raised in a Christian home, in a Christian church, you public schooled, 2.5 to 3 times more likely to be destroyed in terms of your spiritual condition, in terms of your faith. He also says in many elementary schools, your child is taught that gender is chosen. There is no difference between boys and girls. And that's pretty much universal these days, imposed upon them by the Department of Education. And make no mistake about it, my friends, there's just not the autonomy or the independence of the local districts anymore from the public schools or from the National Department of Education. You just don't get that anymore, not with the way that money is spent. The centralization of money of, 30% of the GNI now in government in Washington, D.C., now they're going to impose. The minute you centralize the control of the resources, you're going to have a gun to the head to the local districts, and those districts are going to have to march in order with the transgender homosexual vision imposed upon them by the National Department of Education. That's where we are today. Another reason he says that parents have a hard time with this is that private schools are just as committed to anti-American indoctrination over education as public schools, and they're expensive to boot. So he says the only other option is to homeschool one's child. So he comes back to homeschool. He said, this is pretty much it. The problem is that many parents assume this is essentially impossible. For one thing, they assume that one of the parents would have to leave his or her work, which would mean a serious reduction in the family's income. In addition, homeschooling strikes more people as simply too daunting a task. But given the low intellectual state of most American schools, the damage they do to young children's innocence, and the anti-American, anti-white, anti-Western indoctrination in most schools, if you are a parent of school-aged children, what is your choice? And, you know, I mean, my perspective is that even the most incompetent parent that feel themselves to be incompetent with academics could accidentally do way better than the public schools.
I love that. I love it.
That's my perspective. I mean, I've been a director for Christian Home Educators of Colorado since 1999. A parent dedicating an hour a day of one-on-one time with a child, as I see it, is very, very efficient and influential and helpful in a child's life. There's nothing like one-on-one instruction to provide an efficient and effective form of education. And so I don't think it's hard to beat the public schools. The average homeschooler is right about 84th percentile in comparison to the average public schooler at the 50 percentile mark. So if you look at the cumulative score on nationally standardized tests, homeschoolers on fairly large sample sizes, meaning like 20, 30,000 students, you're looking at somewhere around the 84th percentile as the national average for homeschoolers in comparison to a 50th percentile rating for the rest of those attending public schools. That's a substantial increase for homeschooled students, and there's no statistically significant difference. As in zero statistically significant difference between the performance of kids whose parents are teacher certified versus those kids whose parents are not teacher certified. So the statistics have come back again and again and again in favor of just go home, spend some time with your kids. Doesn't matter as much which curriculum you get. I mean, ours is the best, but, you know, just go at it. Just go at it. Well, friends, we got to take a break, and when we get back, more on this amazing statement from Dennis Prager and an encouragement to homeschool our kids. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast.
Ever since the creation of the Garden of Eden, Satan has been working his hardest to erase the knowledge of God and seduce the creatures made in God's image to think that they are the center of the universe. One look at today's society and you see his progress. Humanistic thought has inundated our culture, and we can trace its roots directly back to the classroom and the textbooks we're setting in front of our kids. That's why every Christian homeschool parent should have a curriculum that's not only rock solid academically, but most importantly will point students back to their Creator as the source of all wisdom and knowledge, and to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If you've been struggling to find such a curriculum, look no further. Here at Generations, we've spent over 15 years developing our Christian discipleship curriculum to help Christian homeschool parents like you pass on the faith to your children by teaching a God-centered view of life and integrating the Bible into every lesson. Our goal is to not only help you meet your students' academic needs, but also to assist you in discipling your children for generations to come. So get started today with our Christian discipleship curriculum and watch your children marvel, learn, and mature as they embark on a God-focused learning adventure to discover more about the world around them and the one who made it all. You can learn more about our curriculum resources and pick up our newly released fifth grade curriculum pack today at generations.org/curriculum. That's generations.org/curriculum.
And we're back on the Generations broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. Dennis Prager, article on WorldNet Daily, the single best thing Americans can do to fight the left-wing destruction of the country, withdraw from the educational system. It's actively, deliberately miseducating your kids by the tens of millions. I don't know, is he exaggerating this thing?
I don't think so. I think he's right on the money. In fact, the American Humanist Association put it quite plainly when they said, in terms of capturing the children, quote, in order to capture this nation, one has to totally remove moral and spiritual values and absolutes from the thinking of the child. The child has to think that there is no standard of right and wrong, that truth is relative, and that diversity is the only absolute to be gained, end quote. So it's really less about whether the child is learning academically, although that is great when they can read and write and do their math, but it's more about what are the values being taught and how is that going to shape the next generation.
You're right. It's the worldview that matters. And of course, most people don't know, or they're not thinking about what kind of worldview is being inculcated year in and year out. The assumption, of course, is God does not exist and that man is ultimate and that man is nothing but cosmic dust floating around the universe of pure chance. So these sorts of presuppositions are constantly working. But now it seems to me that the agenda is increasingly obvious. They are secularizing the kids. They're homosexualizing the kids. They're transgendering the bathrooms. These things are way more obvious. I'd say 100 times more obvious than the agenda that was being foisted upon the American public in the 1980s. This is Dr. Brian Ray commenting on Dennis Prager's article. Dr. Brian Ray's been on our program a number of times. He's the National Home Education Research Institute guy. And these are important comments that he makes. What Prager promotes is one of the very best things that anyone can do to change the USA for the long-term good, he says. I have made the case for his claim for decades. Self-professed conservatives, free marketers, scripture-based Jews, Christians, and libertarians get all worked up over the latest obvious egregious teachings, happenings in state public schools that calm. Then they calm down after a month or two when maybe things have gotten a little bit better. All the while, they leave their kids in state-controlled schooling, and they are being destroyed by 1,000 cuts, not noticed by the parents all day long, 5 days per week, 9 months per year. This has been going on since the inception of state-controlled schooling in the USA and other nations. It's just worse and more obvious now. I've been attending the annual meeting of the American Educational Research Association for 43 years. The creep of degeneracy coming from professors of education and their doctoral students that flows directly into state-certified teachers and into schools and into children's hearts and minds has been ongoing the whole time. And here's the key. It has been noticeably accelerating during the past 15 years. All right. So that's an expert analysis from Dr. Brian Ray from the National Home Education Research Institute.
There's a critical paragraph here that I want to cite from Dennis Prager. And again, it's published WorldNet Daily. And you can Google it, the single best thing you can do to retake America. He said, "You are fooling yourself if you think the odds are that after attending American schools from kindergarten through college, not to mention through graduate school, your child will turn out well-educated, intellectually alive, rational, kind, happy, well-adjusted, grateful to be an American, and respectful of you and your values. The American schools have largely produced poorly educated students and those who are angry at the world, perceiving themselves to be victims. The single best thing Americans can do to fight the left-wing destruction of the country is to withdraw from the educational system that is actively, deliberately miseducating them by the tens of millions." End quote.
Well, there it is. Dennis Prager, the single best thing you can do to retake America. And yes, institutionally, this is what has been eroding America's faith foundations for a long time. And I even point to the universities and the seminaries as contributing to the decline of the American church. But still, I do want to throw this out as well. The roots of America's failure and the collapse of a civilization isn't just institutional. It somehow has made it into the grassroots. The hearts of the people have gone astray. I'm still taking issue with those people who say, well, the hearts of Americans are still really good. It's just their institutions that are messed up. I think Americans kind of like sexual sin. America kind of likes the NFL and their endorsement of the homosexual agenda. In general, they like Garth Brooks and Dixie Chicks and all the pro-homosexual advocates in country music. They still like them because I think there's something wrong with the heart of the nation. Isaiah chapter 1 speaks to this. A people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backwards. The whole heart faints from the sole of the foot even to the head. There's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. Your country is desolate. So I think, you know, okay, yes, I agree the institutions are messed up. And I'd be the first to say amen to what Dennis Prager is saying. But at the same time, I think there needs to be a change of heart. Even as we turn to home education, we need to be sure that our hearts are turning back to God. And then our hearts are turning back to the children, and the children's hearts are turning back to the parents. But until our hearts turn back to God, I'm not sure that homeschooling alone is going to fix this problem.
We need to get right with God. We need to get right with Him and then make sure our children are right with us. There's a flow. There's a natural God-created flow to how culture, how society is to be. And it starts with an accountability with the individual, with the couple, in the marriage, and then it flows into the children, and then from all of that into society. You're right. We cannot just have this artificial demarcation point saying it's the institution of the public school, the government school, is the bad guy, and everything's fine in my house. No, we need to get right in our house so that the rest of society will get right.
Yeah, get your house right and then homeschool. You know, get your home right, then you can homeschool in the home. A couple other things, though, also, as somebody who's been involved in the homeschool movement now as a leader for 35 years and, of course, homeschooled as well, 50 years of experience with homeschooling. Keep in mind a couple of things. One is a lot of homeschool graduates get messed up in college because they didn't get a good grounding in their homeschools. That's why we recommend a Bible-based Christian worldview curriculum. That's just essential. Then secondly, pop culture. We've talked about pop culture. That's also very influential in kids these days. So those people pull their kids out of the public schools, but then they just, you know, leave everything open for the influence of pop culture. They're not going to be making much progress either because of the competing mentors in their kids' lives. So I would throw some of that out as well as important. But I want to touch on this this federal appeals court decision relating to tax credits or vouchers for kids attending private schools in Vermont. I want to hit this briefly. We've got a few minutes left here, Adam.
World Magazine writes a story entitled "Court Affirms Equal Treatment for Religious Schools," written by Steve West, and he says, "A federal appeals court on Wednesday extended a prior ruling that barred Vermont from withholding tuition funds from students who want to attend private religious schools in rural areas not served by a public school, even if the money incidentally funds religious activities. Vermont's town tuition program entitles students living in an area without a public school to a tuition payment toward the independent high school of their choice. State has provided tuition funds only to students who attend private secular schools for over 20 years, a practice that Circuit Judge Steve Menasche, writing for a three-judge panel, declared discriminatory. What's your take, Evan?
Well, you know, what the government funds, the government controls. I think we still need to come back to this. Now, the Espinoza ruling in 2020 also ruled that you couldn't bar the use of public funds for religious entities when it came to these schools. And this ruling declares the same thing. But here's the deal. What do they mean by religious instruction? And I think what they mean is that you can teach that Jesus is the one who died on the cross. You can't teach that homosexuality is a sin, though. See, you can talk about Jesus in your nice little religious schools. Just don't bring out the law of God. Because if you hark back to the Bostock decision last year made by Republican judges Gorsuch and Roberts and the rest, the official ethical position of the U.S. federal government is that homosexuals get the same rights as blacks under the civil rights laws. And homosexual marriage is a virtuous condition. Homosexuality is a virtue. Okay, that is the official ruling of the Supreme Court of the United States. So if you take federal funding, you can't discriminate against Hispanics, Jews, and homosexuals. So because homosexuality has been put on the same level as racial issues in the Title VII and Title IX requirements. So in other words, federal courts may allow for funding of religious schools that teach about Jesus and all that religious stuff, but you cannot discriminate against homosexuality and refer to homosexuality as a sin. So that's where we are. The whole idea is that somehow ethics is not part of the religious faith. The faith does not include ethics. Ethics is something that's determined by natural law or by democratic vote. So this is the kind of thing, this is the argument that is being made by our social systems now. And it's something of an assumption with American churches. Jesus is our Savior, but we just can't talk about how he came to save us from breaking God's laws. So there's this line drawn in the American mind between what is religion and what is ethics. And I think it's dangerous. I think it's going to be dangerous for private schools to continue to take government funding. Not because governments have been okay with religious schools teaching about Jesus, you know, teaching the Bible, so to speak. But if the teaching comes into conflict with the official ethical position of the Supreme Court of the United States in relation to homosexuality, that's where the rub's going to be, Adam.
Mm-hmm. We see how the world perceives Christianity. As long as you're in your little cloistered enclave and you're singing a happy Jesus song, but you're not connecting the dots with what does that mean practically for the institution of marriage, how you raise your children, how you discipline your children, what you think about abortion, what you think about the homosexual agenda, who you should vote for, how you should practice science, how we should do research ethically. Fill in the blank. They don't want the Christian worldview to be carried out by the Christians because it will negatively impact the fun they're having in their sin-filled ways. That's why it's so important that we obey God rather than man and uphold his righteous standard, no matter what our neighbor or our family member or our friend thinks about it, because our allegiance is primarily to God. And certainly not the state.
And that's where the rub is going to be between the Christian and the zeitgeist or the official position taken by the United States government in relation to these ethical issues. But Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name, do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to you, I never knew you, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. In other words, Jesus is concerned with us keeping his laws. You look at Revelation 14, verse 12, the concern is that we keep the faith of Jesus, yes, but also the commandments of God. And that's the piece of it that gets us in trouble with the official state position. Those who were antinomians, those who were against the law, or those that were workers of iniquity, those that did not like the will of God and took a position against God's will and against God's law, these are the antinomians. These are the ones who are against God's law, and it's not going to go well for them on Judgment Day, because according to Jesus, they're going to go to hell. So our heart attitude towards God's laws is important. Either Jesus has saved us and cleansed our hearts so that we love his commandments, or that's not the case. That doesn't mean that we're sinlessly perfect. It just means that we appreciate the commandments of God. We hate our sin, and we appreciate what Christ did for us on the cross when he died for our sins. It means that we're set free from the bondage of our sins and enabled more and more to die to our sin and live to righteousness. So that's the gospel. And I do think this is a gospel issue. I think this artificial division between religion and ethics, or religion and, you know, homosexuality, and how God's law applies to these ethical issues, that needs to be rejected out of hand by Christians. Well, we're plumb out of time. And friends, we've been talking about the importance of education, and these I believe to be the most critical decisions that parents make. And I would encourage parents to our book, Family Life, which gets into our encouragement to parents to get involved and make the right decisions in relation to their children's education. We've got an entire chapter on that in Family Life. Also, Upgrade the 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. It's our introduction to a homeschool philosophy from a distinctively biblical perspective. So Upgrade, Family Life, all available at our website, generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Adam McManus, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.